Isn't it wonderful to be in church? Any opportunity to be in church is a wonderful opportunity. I'm thankful for this opportunity, Brother Pepper, to be here with you folks at your meeting. And I count it an honor and a privilege. I appreciate Brother Pepper. He's extended a hand of friendship to us over the last several years as we've gotten to know them. And he has entrusted his pulpit to me at different times, and I don't take those things lightly. And I want to be a blessing to you this morning. I understand that the context of my message may be somewhat different. And it's just, I have to preach to you what the Lord laid on my heart last night. And I was joking around with Brother Jason yesterday. I was talking to him yesterday evening, and I told him I was going to try to come. I said, man, I need to, and some of you will understand what I'm saying, but I said, I need to come and scope out the congregation and get my message. And some of us have probably sat under some preachers that did that. I'm not one of those. But I did. I felt like the Lord laid something on my heart last night at the altar. And I have wrestled with it all night long. It's not something that I want to preach. And I hope, man, I hope you'll stay with me. You know, sometimes preachers, you get those messages and you're sick at your stomach about preaching because you feel, you know, God wants to deal with something and you get to be the guy to do it. But I really do believe God wants to touch somebody in this service. We may not be running. I don't know. Maybe we do at the end. But I want the Lord to speak to us. Thanks again, Brother Pepper, for the opportunity to come. Just everything. We appreciate the spirit that we feel here. It's always a great thing for me to be in service with the Gans men. I appreciate them, their friendship through the years. I guess we're getting close to going back 20 years, guys. You guys are really getting old. I appreciate Brother Gans, Elder Gans. I turned around to him last night, and I said, you're going to be here in the morning, aren't you? And he said, I will for you. And that, man, that means the world to me. I have told my wife, if there's one person that I like knowing is in the congregation when I'm preaching, it's Brother Gans. And I appreciate his life and his ministry. All right, go with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 26. I'm very burdened this morning. I really am. And I hope I haven't set a precedent for this message already that you've already written me off. But I hope my burden can come through here today. And you just stay with me for a little bit. If we can get this thing into the altar, I trust that the Lord. We preach. But while we preach, the Holy Ghost does His bidding with the people. And so that's what I'm trusting in today. Matthew chapter 26. I want to read to you, and then I'm going to go to Luke chapter 23 or Luke chapter 22. But I'm going to read to you one of the absolute, if not the saddest, account that we have in Scripture. Matthew chapter 26, verse 14. Then one of the 12, called Judas Iscariot, went unto the chief priests and said unto them, "What will you give me? And I will deliver him unto you." And they covenanted with him for 30 pieces of silver. And from that time he sought opportunity to betray him. Luke chapter 22. I'm going to read the first 5 words in that third chapter. Then entered Satan into Judas. quite a different, Luke gives us a different look into what happened in that moment. If I could convey to you how desperately I need the Holy Ghost to help me this morning, would you stretch your hands toward heaven and ask Him to visit us? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. Praise the Lord. I want the Lord bless His word. You may be seated. I want to help somebody here today. I was over there praying last night. Man, Brother Joe Gans did a tremendous job preaching to us. I guess if I'm being honest, even my response should have been more than what it was, Brother Cisnero. We hear the Word of God preached, and it almost becomes such commonplace to us that we really don't respond to the preaching of the Word like we should. I told somebody the other day, there's not a famine of preaching. We have more preaching now in America than we ever have. A lot of it we don't need, but it's happening. There's not a famine of preaching, but there's a famine of responding to the preaching of God's Word. As I was over there praying last night, Brother Pepper, the Lord just spoke to me these words. This is what He said to me, and I don't know you well enough to know much about you. But the Holy Ghost knows. And the Lord spoke to me, and this is what He said to me. He said, there's a shift. He said, there's a shift. And I don't know exactly what God means by that. I don't know if it's to a person or whatever. I'm going to preach to you the burden of my heart. Judas, if you Google right now the most infamous traitor in the history of the world, Judas Iscariot comes up number one. More so than Benedict Arnold, and there were other traitors, infamous traitors in American and world history, but Judas Iscariot still comes up as the number one traitor in human history. The word shift means to put something. Will you bear with me for just? It's probably going to be a little slower here today. The word shift means to put something aside or replace it by another or by others. It means to change or to exchange what you have for something else. And all I can tell you this morning is that the Holy Ghost spoke to me last night and said there's a shift. I don't know who He wants to talk to today, but I believe He wants to talk to somebody. How many of you have heard the saying that money changed them? How many have seen that happen in somebody's life, that money changed them? And we look at people, we look at Ruth, or we look at Naomi in the Bible, and we would say no, it wasn't money that changed Naomi, but it was an event that changed Naomi. Shifted things in their lives. I want to preach to you for just a little bit on the man that silver shifted. The man that silver shifted. I want to ask you a question. Have you shifted your focus? Stay with me, please. Have you shifted your focus? Have you changed your mind? Have you exchanged your glory, thinking that what you might get in return would somehow be better than what you already had? There was an old poet. He was kind of a crazy man. A lot of the stuff you wouldn't want to recite, but he would poetically pen these words, Oscar Wilde would one day. When he was writing a poem about betrayal, he would say, "Yea, each man kills the thing that he loves. By each let this be heard. Some do it with a bitter look, some with a flattering word. The coward does it with a kiss, the brave man with a sword." Brother Pepper, if I had the opportunity this morning to talk to Judas, I think I'd ask him this question: what happened? What shifted in your life? What brought about such a drastic change? At one point, he's clinging closely to Christ, but in the next, he is kissing him on the cheek, betraying him. There are valuable lessons that we can learn from the life, the tragic ending of Judas. And one of those important lessons, oh, you're going to be quiet on me this morning. I knew you would. One of those important lessons, but Brother Pepper, you taught me last night, it's okay not to get amen. So I'm going to try something new this morning. All right? Amen. One thing that we must learn from this is it's very possible to be so close to Christ in proximity, but so far away from Him when it comes to relationship or the lack thereof. I want to tell you this morning, I want to present to you a warning that if you're not careful and understand what I'm saying here, okay? I know these are big words and I want you to understand what I'm saying. But you can speak in tongues straight into hell if you're not careful. Oh, I need the Holy Ghost to help me this morning. Have you lost focus today? Have you changed your mind about what you have always believed about Jesus Christ? Has some event in your life altered your view of who Jesus is? I reference Naomi a lot of times in preaching because we're dealing with people in our church world right now where events are changing their view of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's not that Jesus has changed in any way, but it's our view of Him that has changed because circumstances of life have a way of altering our view of who Jesus Christ is. I wish the Lord would help me this morning. Hey, Judas, what happened? At what point along the way did you shift? I guess if we were to just take from our text and read this morning, we would say that this all started over ointment. You with me, Brother Joe? You said you would be. Don't back up on me now. Amen. Brother James has started over ointment. Mary comes out to do the absolute best thing that she can for Jesus Christ. And she sits down at His feet. Now I want to point something out to you. When she does this, here's this word, Brother Pepper. It said all of the disciples were filled with indignation. All of them got upset at her because what she had just poured out upon the ground, amen, had such value to it. Oh, but Mary understood that it's what it would hit before it hit the ground was what the oil was all about. Amen. It was about the oil hitting the feet of Jesus more than it was hitting the ground beneath His feet. Praise the Lord. But they were all filled with indignation over what had just happened. But the problem is, amen, this all started over somebody else, amen, sacrificing and obeying God and giving the best they had to Him. And I felt like in prayer this morning and last night when I got home that I needed to tell somebody, amen, your adversary is a master at manipulating events in your life. And I dare even say he's a master at manipulating spiritual events in your life. And you'll see somebody sacrifice and they'll worship God in some way. And if you're not careful, you'll get upset about it. You'll get bitter about it. Say, Brother
Michael, how can you preach something like this? I'm telling you, I wish I was preaching on worship. I wish I was preaching on the Holy Ghost. But I come to tell somebody today, amen, there's a shift in your life. Something is changing. And if you're not careful, amen, it'll take you somewhere you never intended to go. Man, I've seen it happen, Brother Pepper. Oh. I've seen it happen. People raise their hands and worship God, and the power of God falls on them over here. But because this person wasn't right with the Lord, they got upset about this person getting blessed by God. That's what happened to Judas. Amen, Mary. Evidently, Judas, amen, it was more about money to him than it was the master. Amen. And this whole thing starts over ointment that had to it of great value. Amen. And all of the other disciples, I suppose, they got over it, Brother Gans. But Judas couldn't get over it. He got bitter about it. He got upset about it. Oh, stand by me, Holy Ghost. Amen. There's a lesson we've got to learn here. Amen. We got to learn how to get over stuff. We got to learn how to let things go. Because if you can't learn how to let it go, there's a root of bitterness that'll spring up in you. Oh, help me this morning, Lord. Amen. Bitterness. Amen. It's not something that comes from the outside. It's something that starts way. I feel like I come to preach to somebody this morning. Amen. Bitterness will lead to a shift in your life. I said bitterness will lead to a change in your life.
You'll watch Mary. I'm so glad you're here, Brother. You'll watch Mary. Not that I'm not glad the rest of you are here. Don't misunderstand me. Amen. Yeah. You'll watch Mary, and you'll watch her pour that oil out, and you'll think to yourself, my goodness, she's lost her mind. You know how much money she could sell that for? We don't have anywhere to lay our head. Mary could sell that and have us a place to stay for the night. I don't know what he was thinking. All I know is Brother Gans, the enemy, saw opportunity, and he slipped in there, and he began to manipulate that event. Oh, I feel like talking to you about that for just a moment. He began to manipulate that event. Amen. And he distorted it in Judas's mind. Amen. And rather than worshiping, amen, Judas. I said rather than worshiping, Judas was overwhelmed, amen, with worry about how much money it could have been sold for. Amen. I'm telling you, your adversary, he will manipulate the events in your life. Amen. I said he'll manipulate events in your life. He'll turn you against the pastor. He'll turn you against the deacons. You won't hear what the Word of God has to say because there's a shift now. Something's changing in your life. And it all started with a manipulation of a worship event. I hope this ain't the last time you have me back. Oh, I gotta hurry. I don't know what time lunch is, but I gotta hurry. This was an opportunity for all of them to worship with her. But instead, indignation filled their hearts. And again, it did not say righteous indignation. Because you and I, when we're walking in the flesh, we don't have the ability within our own selves to determine what is righteous and what is unrighteous. We operate in the flesh. And I feel like I'm preaching to somebody. Brother Pepper, I don't know your congregation like you do, but I know what I felt the Holy Ghost lay on my heart. And I feel like I'm trying to preach to somebody today, this morning. Amen. There's a shift going on in your life. Some things are changing about you that you don't need to change. Sometimes change is necessary. Sometimes shifting is necessary. But then there are times, amen, when the Word of God says to stand still right where you are. And if you move, you're moving on dangerous ground. Oh, I'm telling you, amen. Judas walked right beside him. He heard the words that he
said. He saw the miracles he performed. He was shoulder to shoulder with the Messiah. Amen. But a shift took place in his life. I'm trying to tell somebody. Amen. You're raising your hands. You're singing the songs. But there is a shift going on in your life. Amen. You've got to identify it today. We run and we shout while there are shifts taking place, and we never deal with it. I said we never deal with it. Oh, the hymnist would say, on Christ the solid rock I stand. All of the ground is sinking sand. Amen. Sinking sand. What does it do, Brother James? If you get on it, it shifts. It looks one way. Man, I feel the Holy Ghost this morning. It looks one way while you're walking. But then as soon as you put your feet on it, it changes beneath your feet. And I really feel the Holy Ghost telling me to tell somebody, amen, there's something you're headed towards. And it looks sure and it looks steady. Fast, but I'm telling you, it's just like the quicksand in South Florida. As soon as you put your foot on it, it'll change beneath you. Oh, I said it'll change beneath you. Oh, you're not wanting to help me this morning, but I come to preach to you. Amen. Judas is a man that allowed silver to shift his life. Judas simply couldn't get over it. Unfortunately, Judas' story will end in tragedy. It didn't have to. Man, I got this Bible right here. Brother Gans, come here, do me a favor. Is this okay, Brother Pepper? I don't know, man. I got this new, my kids got me this for Father's Day. If you want to know about it, I'll show you. If you don't want to know about it, I'll probably still show you. I'm real proud of it. But I want you to read right here what this says.
Judas Iscariot sells the Lord.
With him and then sell him. How are you there when it turns water into wine and then you sell him? How are you there when he blesses bread and fish and feeds thousands and then you sell him? Amen. I'll tell you how you do it, because it was never about silver, amen, but it was a spirit. I said it was never about silver, but it was a spirit. Oh, you're entertaining some things. You're pondering on some things. Amen. I'm not saying it's money for you. Amen. But in all reality, it wasn't really money for Judas either. It was a spirit that got a hold of him. Amen. He sold him because of the spirit behind the silver. God. We are facing challenges. I may have missed it this morning. We are facing unprecedented challenges in our society right now. They're cramming homosexuality in our face. Man, Brother Joe, I had to tell my children they had to get some of those innocent little games off their phone because they put all the rainbow flags in the games and said this game is for all, inclusive. They're cramming it down our throats. They're trying to force this transgender agenda down our throats and in our face. We are facing some unprecedented challenges in society. Oh, but let me go and make it a little more personal here. Amen. We are also facing some unhinged hindrances in our churches. Hallelujah. Amen. Yes, I pay attention to the world around me, but I'm not so much worried about what's going on out there as I am worried about what's going on in here right now. And there are folks, amen, that are dawning the doors of our churches. Amen. And they are coming in, amen, gripped by a spirit that is not of God. And they're trying to sing. Oh, with the Lord would help me this morning. They're trying to worship. They're trying to back the pastor. But Brother Gans, there's a spirit that's got a hold of them. And when they would stand, they're shifting. I said, when they would stand, oh, you're shifting this morning. Where did the shift start? Unhinged forces of hell are upon our churches. Remember the Michael, do you believe we're going to succumb to that? No. I'll tell you why, because Jesus said we would not. He said the gates of hell would not prevail, but he did not say they would not try. If something does not prevail, it means there is an effort by that thing to overcome the church. Amen. I know he's not going to prevail over the church, but what I'm seeing, Brother Joe Gans, is some of the guys that we went to Bible school with, he is not prevailing over the church, but he is prevailing over them. He may not prevail over the church, but he'll satisfy himself to prevail over one. Oh, you're not with me this morning. I said he knows he's not going to prevail over the church, but if he can prevail over one in your congregation, brother, he'll put another feather in his cap. But I'm here to try to be a watchman on the wall and tell somebody today, amen, there's a shift in your life. Amen, there's some changes in your life you don't need to make. But I'm telling you, the Holy Ghost is among us. He's calling it out. He's whispering in your ear. If you yield to him, if you'll obey the voice of the Lord, you do not have to end in tragedy. They're walking out of the house of God, turning their back on holiness, denying Pentecost. I've heard them giving messages in tongues. And I hear them say now, you don't have to have that. That doesn't really mean you have the Holy Ghost. Come on here now. I'm telling you, I turned 36 today, and my dad did tell me it's all downhill from here. Kind of chapped me a little bit this morning when he told me that. But Brother Pepper, I'm an old soul when it comes to the doctrines of the Bible. And I still believe when you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, you will speak in other tongues as the Spirit gives you the utterance. And if you tell me you have the baptism, amen, simply and only by the fruit you bear, and you've never spoken in tongues, amen, you do not have the same Holy Ghost that filled me up under an altar at the Marietta Church of God when I was a 12-year-old boy. I still believe that he inhabits people with the evidence of another language. But there's a spirit that's trying to shift the institution. I need to preach to you. I said there's a spirit in our churches, Brother James, that's trying to shift, amen, the institution that God set in the upper room. But I'm telling you this morning, I see it, you see it, and we better preach against it, or we'll lose our young people. I'm telling you, we better stand flat-footed, not arrogantly, but anointed, and say, devil, we see what you're doing, and we will not stand for it.
There's a difference in being arrogant and anointed.
change. This book has carried me. Some are exchanging it. Come on here now. I'm not a soapbox preacher. I'm not a hobby horse preacher. They're exchanging. There's still a scripture in this book that says, seek for the old paths. Wherein is the good way? Brother Pepper, it's a good way. I said it's a good way. He said, walk ye therein. Hallelujah. It's a good way. I'm not here to tell you what you're doing wrong. I don't know what you're doing wrong. Amen. But the Holy Ghost, and I'm not even telling you you've done anything wrong yet, but I am telling you I feel the burden of the Lord to tell somebody there's a shift going on in your life. You're doing things you would have never done. Oh, you're looking at things you'd have never looked at. You're listening to mess you'd have never listened to. And you're justifying it all the while. Say, Brother Michael, we'd rather shout. Yeah, I would too. Amen. We'd rather run. Yeah, I would too. But I'm telling you, why don't we get control of the shift? And then we shout. I said, why don't we get control of the shift? And then we shout. Satan. There's a lot of things the devil knows you won't do. So if he can just get you to change a little bit. Judas didn't get up. He didn't cause a huge scene right there in the moment, at least that I know of. Something shifted on the inside of him. He went from clinging to kissing. Brother Michael, we're in church this morning. What are you talking about? I know you are today. But if things keep shifting in your life, where will you be camp meeting 2023 if the Lord tarries his coming? I know it'll be quiet, man. Just a little shift in this area can't hurt all that bad. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 would tell us, lest Satan should get an advantage of us. We are not ignorant of his devices. We must identify what's driving this in us, among us. I'll tell you what it is. It's a spirit. Oh. It's a spirit. Oh God. The devil don't want you to be free this morning. He wants you to leave this place having not dealt with anything, but still feeling just as good as you did when you walked in the door. Amen. He don't want you to feel bad. He say, man, I don't feel bad. The devil don't want you to feel bad. He wants you to feel good. Conviction makes you feel bad. Conviction stirs something up. He said, I came in here feeling good, Brother Michael. And you're here trying to mess it up at camp meeting this morning. The devil wants you to leave still feeling good. Yeah, it does. You came in with that spirit. I feel the Holy Ghost this morning. Amen. I'm not a prophet. I've never pretended to try to be one. But I know what I feel when I feel like I feel right now. Amen. I'm telling you, somebody in this house came in here with a spirit this morning. I'm not saying you're possessed of the devil. Amen. But there is a spirit that's got your life, and he's trying to shift some things around, and he's making you feel good about it. But I'm telling you, God sent me with a feeble message this morning to tell you, amen, it ain't got to end in tragedy. You don't have to be a casualty. You can identify it and pray through this morning. We're not ignorant. It's Antichrist. Spirit of rebellion's in our churches. The man of God stands up and he says, you don't need to do this. And we say, that's just his opinion. Listen, I know some preachers have fallen. But that doesn't mean you throw out the word that every man of God has. Oh, man, you're buckling. You're buckling in tight on me. Hey, man, here's the deal, though. I guess if you're buckled up, that means you're in for the ride. Yeah. I'm trying to look at it different. See, Brother Pepper, that sounds like something you might would have told me last night at our round table discussion. I'm not here to be mean, and I hope I'm not coming across that way, brother. But man, I got a burden for the Gans. I know we had great preaching last night, and he'll do a whole lot better than me tonight. I give it all to him. Amen. But I'm just trying my best to tell somebody this morning, there are things shifting in your life. There's some things changing in your life, and you don't even really see what's going on. He's a master manipulator. He's been doing it for thousands of years. He got to angels in glory, and he got to a disciple that was beside the Lord. Who are you to think he can't get to you? Oh, I said, who are you to think? He got to angels, and he got to Judas. Who are you to think? Are you so arrogant to think that he cannot get to you? I'm telling somebody this morning, he has gotten to you. He's working on your mind. He's working in your heart. You're shifting. Your relationship is changed. You're giving up your convictions. You're letting down your standard. Why is it? Because there's a shift in your life. Notice how the enemy works in you. Notice how he works in you. The seemingly all stars, indignation over waste. Okay? Don't you get that? It has value, the ointment does. Now it's a puddle in the floor that Martha, as she scurries around the house, will come by with a rag and she will wipe it up. And it will go to the trash can. And Judas, he can't get over that. He's controlled by desire for things that have monetary value. But notice this. What will you give me? I think about how many times I've sold out and I've crucified him afresh and anew. But Brother Gans, he keeps on pulling me back. My God. Hey. Hey, man, somebody in this house is in a vicious cycle in your mind. Man, I don't know why I feel what I feel. And I ain't trying to pretend to be somebody. But somebody in this church, you're in a vicious cycle right now in your life. Amen. And you ain't... The man of God stands behind the pulpit and he preaches the unadulterated word of God and he counsels you. But you walk out of this house not adhering to the counsel, amen, of the angel of the church. Amen. And you wonder why. Amen. You're struggling. You wonder why. Things aren't better. I'll tell you why. Amen. You've settled for the shift. I said you've settled for the shift in your life. They convene together and they say, 30 pieces of silver. Monetary value. Gets mad over oil because it had value. So they said, we'll give him money. And the Bible tells us, you give me just a second, and I'm going to get out of the way. Stay with me. The Bible tells us that he left there, and from that day he sought opportunity to betray the Lord. There was a point where things were just shifting. But when he leaves that meeting that night, it's done. James, you praying for me, brother? Brother Michael, you come to preach doom and gloom this morning. No, I'm trying to keep you out of the field of blood. You hear what I'm telling you? I said, I'm trying to keep you out of the field of blood. Amen. It was a slow shift, but then it changed. Amen. Judas couldn't come back from the change. It messed with his mind. The manipulator manipulated that spiritual event. I know that sounds crazy, but I can't get past that. I said he manipulated that spiritual event, and he couldn't let it go. He couldn't get past it. So they said, we'll give him silver. Mad over waste. But then he runs into a field. He falls upon a sword. Brother Gaines, I can hear that satchel as it hits the ground. And what drove him to the field was waste. But in the end, the devil took away from him what he thought was sufficient for the Savior. Silver wasn't enough for that spirit. And I can hear the satchel as it strikes the earth. And the devil said it was greed that drove him here. And in the end, Satan kept the silver. Somebody this morning, Pastor, I hope if I'm out of line, you get me, brother. And I'm telling somebody this morning, Satan always gets himself. The shift, it'll cost you more. Next thing you know, you've lost your purity. Next thing you know, your integrity is in the courtroom. Next thing you know, your character is challenged. Your moral compass is crushed. All for silver. Stand with me. What is your silver? Something does. I, as I'm reading this, I'm stuck on Judas. I can't get over it. It's always bothered me. Always bothered me that he did what he did. But as I'm looking at Judas and I'm thinking, man, how could you do that? Sister, would you come to the piano, please? Babe, I want you to come. I'm stopping. It'll be better tonight. Come on back. I'm sure the food will be good in just a little bit. But I'm looking at him, and I'm like, I'm hung up on Judas and his betrayal. But I read just a few verses down. And one of my favorite guys in the Bible, Peter, he does the same thing. He betrays him too. Huh? There was no silver involved, but it's just no way. But he betrayed him with his mouth. Judas kisses his cheek. Peter curses his name. Says, I don't know the man. I don't know. And both of them are a betrayal. But let me tell you something. The difference between Peter and Judas was an altar. I may not get invited back after this morning. Okay. But the difference between Peter and Judas is an altar. Both of them flee. Judas flees to a field to die. Peter flees to a field for deliverance. Judas falls on a sword. Peter falls on his knees. The difference between you being a statistic and saved is the altar. Man. And some 2,000 years later, Brother Pepper, I go to Google search and I'm thinking, I want to look for the, it's America, right? Benedict Arnold's going to be number one. 2,000 years later, still the number one traitor in human history. There's a man that walked with the Lord just like this. God Almighty. And Judas sells the Lord. I'll tell you how nobody finds your name. Pastor, it's this right here. Man, I know it's different. Brother Lucas, you wanted fire. You're getting folly this morning. Both of them flee to a field. My good friend, Brother Joe. The only way out Judah sees is a sword. Peter found an altar. And the Bible said he wept bitterly. The man that silver shifted in hell today, he is in torment. But when there was a moment, you know why Peter found an altar? Because his Lord had said to him while he looked him in the eye one day, and he said, Peter, I've prayed for you. Do you think Jesus prayed for Judas too? Sure he did. I think he did. Man, he washed his feet. He said, hey, he that dippeth with me right now, he ate with him. He washed his feet. I'm trying not to go too long. Sure, he prayed for Judas. But he looks at Peter and he said, I prayed for you, that your faith fail not. So when that manipulator tried to capitalize on that tragic event in Peter's life, and he would curse the Lord three times, and then he would hear the cock crow, and he would hastily run away. And at that time, our Lord would turn and look at Peter something broke. I wonder, this is touched in commentary. Man, I'm so broke up this morning, you have to forgive me. But I wonder, Brother James, if Judas had been in a different place and the Lord had had opportunity to turn and look at him, if something would have been different. Be careful where you go to do your dealings. Where you go, it just might be that that look is what says, hey, I knew you would do it. But Peter, there's an altar. There's an altar. You don't have to be a Judas. You can be a Peter. But Brother Michael, you don't know what I've done. I don't need to know what you've done. You don't know what sin I've committed. I don't need to know what sin you've committed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Just the pastor looking around this morning. Hey, Judas. What happened? When did it shift for you? When did you leave your first love? When did your ardent affection that you had for your master begin to fade away? You don't have to be a Judas. An altar. If that's you this morning and you feel like you need an altar because you're tired of the shift in your life, you're tired of the cycle in your life, you're tired of shouting victory on Sunday and then feeling like a derelict on Monday. If you're tired of this vicious cycle, you're tired of being in and out and up and down, my God, I'm telling somebody, Satan always gets the silver in the end. If you're here this morning, you need to get some stuff right. I'm going to ask you to come to this altar. Come on, church, let's gather in these altars. I've preached my heart to you.